Wow. That's the way to start a new year off, isn't it? I'll give you all the glory. I'll worship you. I'll praise you. I honor you. But we get to start a new year. How many of y'all are glad to start a new year? Guess what? You're going to start a new year whether you want to or not. How many of you all found you're going to have a birthday? It's going to happen. And time is going to move on, and life is going to move on. And in church, I think we're at the start of one of the most exciting moments in this season in the life of this ministry that we can possibly have. And so today I'm going to kind of go over what we're going to be working on this year. And so it's just come together. Come together. Dum-dum-da-da-dum. Come together. We all remember that song, little Aerosmith there for the new year. Come together. What does it mean to come together? What would happen in your life if you recognized the realization of the Holy Spirit that is in you and you came together with that in life? You know what that's called? Incarnation. We just spent four Sundays celebrating the incarnation. Last Sunday was the crescendo of that celebration. Christ is born unto us. Now we as human beings can come together with God. Now when we come together with God, everything changes. Every possibility becomes a reality. Things that we were incapable of, now we're capable of. And guess what? More than anything else in the life of this church, I want you to get this. How we relate to each other is more important than what we program. I'm going to tell you something right now. Y'all probably caught this vision if you've been around Hillview and you're at 8 o'clock. You've been around Hillview a while. If all you have is an institutional church, you ain't got no church. Excuse my grammar, but I wanted to say it how we could get it. You don't have a church. If all church is a happy greeting on the way in, a few songs that make you feel tingly, a handshake in the midst, or a warm hello, if all you get out of this experience is a superficial friendship, you have missed the Christ. And you have dumbed down the bride of Christ to a meager country club without a swimming pool. Or now we even got swimming pools in churches so you can come and play. I'm going to tell you, God's not called us to come and just participate shallowly with Him. God has called us into His kingdom and He's made us family. What do you think? I don't know about you all, but there's a big difference in the way you relate to people that you kind of casually acquainted with in your brothers and sisters. I will aggravate my brothers and sisters. What about you? It's what I look forward to in the holidays. I want them to know who I am. And God wants us to know who He is. I'm going to tell you, church, I'm going to ask you, do you want to take the challenge to come together in such a way with the Holy Spirit that the world will have to say, Jesus Christ is a reality? Now, I'm going to tell you something. We're in a void for the real gospel. When I first started preaching to you 15 years ago, it was the world that was the problem. Well, you give it 15 years and the church just kind of sits around and becomes more self-absorbed. And here's what happens. When the church begins to absorb the teachings of the world more than it absorbs the teachings of Christ, you can't tell the two apart. The best weapon the devil has is to make the world and the church look the same. It's the best weapon he's got. If you're coming to church just because you need a friend, then you're missing the whole church experience. It's about coming into a realization that Jesus Christ has died on a cross, risen from the grave, and I am freed of my sins, which now makes me a totally different human being. That's where we start the new year. How many of y'all realize that? You're not what you used to be. How many of y'all got that down? I am not what I used to be because something has changed my life. I believe His name is who?
Jesus.
Man, I love the way y'all say that. Now watch this. If we're going to come together, guess who's got to be the centerpiece of this church? There you go. Okay, so let's talk about what it's not about for just a minute, okay? It's not about how happy we are. Gee,
Gee, Beav. You know? In fact, I'm watching the gospel of the church. We don't know the difference between the American nuclear family and the power of the cross and resurrection. The church just showed itself over Christmas. The Church of America is saying today that your relationship with each other is what will bring you together. I say that's a false teaching. I say your relationship with Jesus Christ is what will bring you into the most intimate human relationships. What do you think? You will never get past a superficial relationship. Why do you think people only stay at churches 3 or 4 years? Well, let's talk a little bit. It's early. You all made it past the New Year celebration. Huh? Exactly right, Joe. Why do you think pastors only stay at a church an average 3.5 years? Because after that, you really know them. You'll really know them. They know you. You know me. We're over that at Hillview. Hey, man. Y'all know my faults and you know my God qualities. Guess what? I know your faults, and I know your God quality. So I want us to awake. We're at a different season of ministry, man. I am glad that we no longer have to shake hands and introduce ourselves to each other. Amen? So now we go a little bit deeper and say, okay, after we get past all the politeness and all the hellos and how are yous, now we come together and we say, okay, what are we going to be because Jesus has totally changed us? Well, I'm going to talk about some things we got to be. First of all, we're going to continue to be driven by a vision to change the world. Y'all got that? In 206, what are we about at Hillview Heights Church? We're about changing the world. And we believe here the only way you can change the world is to be totally submitted to Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of discussion out there today. Some people say, well, is the organizational church important? I think it is because it's been around for 2,000 years in many different forms. I do not believe this. I do not believe this is church. You come an hour a week, hear some guy talk to you, sing 3 songs, and if that's the extent of your understanding of church, then you've missed it in the first place. I don't think church is just this, sitting around a room with people that are just like you and only like you and only hold the philosophies of you and sitting there with 12 people or 13 people and going, well, I agree with you. We got a whole other movement. It's called the Emerging Church, which I think is hilarious anyway. The church emerged 2,000 years ago. And these guys all look alike, speak alike, have the same hairdos, wear the same hemp necklaces, and they think because they have found commonality, they have found unity. I say baloney. I say the power of coming together is this. Look at what Christ did. You got to look at what Jesus did. Who's going to be the centerpiece of the ministry? Jesus. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus took 12 diverse people. The disciples were not alike. How many of y'all understand that? The 12 disciples, they were not like each other. The only thing they had in common was this. They were humans. 12 different types of humans. One of them was a con artist. What do you think about that? That Jesus stuck a con artist in the intimacy of the first small group ever created, the 12. It even became a devil. He was in leadership. Jesus, that was very intended. That the power of the cross and the resurrection will always override humanity. How many of y'all get that? Always override humanity. So let's talk about the vision of our church. First thing we're always going to be about, and I know you all are about this, but we got to encourage one another to come together and really be about this, is making sure that people connect to Jesus Christ. How many of y'all still think that's important? Now, I really do. Your pastor's in a great argument across America on this, all right? Watch this. I'm going to tell you where the church is in America today. I go argue for the gospel among people that lead churches. Large ones. The gospel. Don't tell me baptisms aren't important. I have pastors tell me all the time, well, baptisms aren't important. That isn't it. That's not what it's about. No, it's not about the actual baptism, but it is about people being connected to Jesus Christ. It's about that, Alan Painter. Go ye therefore and tell the world what it's about that. It's not about how good our music is. It's not about how many Bible studies we have. It's not about how many philosophers you can quote. It isn't about all those things. It isn't about is everybody cool or everybody not cool or everybody acceptable or everybody not acceptable. It's not about is the church techno or not techno. It's not about is the church traditional or non-traditional. Those are the two stupidest terms in the world I've ever heard to define the church. Traditional or non-traditional. Do you think Jesus cares either way? Well, why don't we use some biblical terms? Alive or dead? We don't want those, do we? Those indict us or bless us? What about this one? Are the people really together or do they just hang out of politeness? Okay, now watch. Come together. First thing we do is we come together with the cross and resurrection. There's the C3. You got it? C3. First connection point. We want to make sure people know that Jesus Christ died for their sins, has risen from the grave, and an intimate relationship with Him yields to forgiveness and a new life. I believe y'all got that down at 8 o'clock. What do you think? Now, here's what I want you to know. That message never stops teaching you. You don't just get saved. You connect to God and it's everlasting. Amen? You with me? It's not a one-time experience. It's a forever experience. Secondly, as soon as you join the cross and resurrection, you join a group of brothers and sisters. You have a community of faith. Now, let's talk for a minute about the community of faith. That means we got to be real with each other. Amen? Now I want to take you to Romans chapter 12, verse 9, because I think this brings us together as a community. What does it mean to really be community? 206, we're going to come together to connect people to Jesus Christ and to really learn what it means to be Christian community. We do a lot of that here, but guess what? I'm not asking you to do community anymore. I don't believe you go do community. I believe you are community. It's a being. And everybody has a responsibility to that. Now watch this. Everybody's important in the community. Y'all got that? See, I don't picture God as a CEO. I picture God as an artist. I think God's the ultimate artist. What do you think about that? God is artist. Well, He seemed to do more creation than He does business. I mean, in the beginning, He didn't like say, let's cut a deal. He said, let there be light. And then He put color in motion. He put life in motion. And God kind of moves this life thing out among us. And He creates you and me, humans, males and females. And He blesses them. And He puts them in a world that's in motion. And you know what I found? Every little detail of God is important. Now, we live in America. Most of us, because we lived at this moment of time, come out of a very industrial time in America. We've mass-produced stuff. We put it together. We make it happen. We want it to look alike. We want it to be in categories. Make sense? But you know, God, how many of y'all have ever seen just a beautiful painting, a stunning painting, one that'll just take your breath? Huh? What makes that painting significant? Is it the overall picture, or is it the detail of the picture? It's the detail. Isn't it, Marcia? How many of y'all have ever seen a portrait of somebody, and what makes that portrait come to life? Yeah, the detail. The artist that puts the scar on the face that was brought to that individual by a 2-year-old swing set accident. But they find that significant enough. It's a little detail that brings out the reality of the story of the life of that person. Well, God wants us to come together. Come together to do what? To connect people to Jesus Christ and to be the community of Christ. Well, what happens in this community of Christ is truth has got to be shared among us. Amen? And see, when you really start loving people, you can tell the truth. When you really understand Jesus, you can begin to receive truth. Now, here's what truth is. Here's why we need the Bible. I believe the Bible to be our truth. Huh? What do you think? Now, see, here's what we've done in the church. A lot of people say, well, I'm not sure the Bibles are relative. I'm not sure. The Bible's been written by man. How do you know that it's inspired? They go through all these arguments because watch this. When you are going to be the centerpiece of community, you have to remove all other sources of authority. I have a lot of these teachers that talk about community. They want to be the centerpiece of that community. That's called a cult. Hillview, if we're going to really come together, guess who's got to be the center of everything? Jesus. We relate to one another through Jesus. We come together in who? Jesus. Our marriages come together in Jesus. We raise our kids through Jesus. See what starts happening in this place if we do that. And so those first three parts of our vision come together. Connect people to Christ. Be the community of God. We're going to go to Romans. I got it. I hadn't forgotten it. Chapter 12, verse 9. Okay? And receive truth. Truth sets you free. How many of y'all found that? That truth will set you free. How many of y'all like to hear truth? Sometimes. I like Joseph. How many of the rest of you like to hear truth? How many of y'all like to hear truth according to the Holy Spirit or truth according to your interpretation of the Holy Spirit? I know a lot of people don't like to go to Bible study with other people because they can't skip the verses that bother them. You know, in your Bible study, one of the reasons it's so important is because you're confronted with parts of the Bible that you don't want to read. You know, the first of the year, what do we all think about? We all think about the physical, don't we? How many of y'all got some idea you're going to be in better shape this time next year than you are right now? You know it's not going to happen, but it's a good idea at the first of the year, right? I know Monday morning the gym will be full. I mean, it will be full. This week it will be full, and it'll be full for about 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden the routine of getting better just falls out, and we got so many other things in life that our priorities shift. But I want us to keep something in this church in this new year very focused. Jesus Christ is going to bring us together. We got to come together in a greater way than we ever have because it's already possible. Connecting people to Christ, doing what else? Being the community that Christ has called us to be. And the third thing, receiving truth. That'll set us free. Okay? Now the second thing, part of our vision is what? Health. Become healthy. This is healthy. It's healthy to be with people you don't agree with. What do you think about that? Listen, I'm going to challenge you in your life. You need to have some relationships other than your marriage where you're in a relationship where you don't agree. How many of y'all agree with everything your spouse does? If you do, you have a real unhealthy marriage. I mean, you really do. You have a really unhealthy marriage because what you have is you have somebody's not thinking. See what I'm saying? We got to think and we got to sort it out and we got to have this tension. Tension's a healthy thing. And I want you to know that tension is a God thing. Jesus asked his disciples a lot of tough questions. Who do they say that I am? And Jesus said a lot of tough things to his disciples, like to Peter, Satan, get behind me. There's no such thing as a politically correct Jesus. Baby boomers who had smoked a lot of dope previously in their life made up the politically correct Jesus. Because the politically correct Jesus will provide no conviction. The only problem, without any conviction, there'll never be a full and abundant life. There'll always be life on our terms instead of life inside Jesus' terms. You see how this all comes together? So health, we got to get healthy. God wants us to be healthy. And healing. I think we ought to be a church that continues to heal. What do you think? Jesus is a healing God. There's no way to get away from it. I know that bothers a lot of Christians because here's what happens. See, here's why church people get bothered by healing. Because when there's a healing, who's in charge? Jesus. And you can't doubt it. What do religious people want most of all? Think about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and other religious people you know. I'm really cluing y'all in on something right at the first of the year. They always want to be in charge. It's that simple. Have you noticed? Church is great if they feel in. And everybody's awful if they don't feel like they're in. And you notice, I'm just giving you some keys to these folks. And they always want to be in the know without ever sacrificing anything. Radar, 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 radar. Who does that sound like? Judas. I want to hang closely with Jesus, but never live out his way. Welcome to the church in the 21st century.
I want a faith without a cost. Does it sound familiar? I want a great living without a job. Huh? How many of y'all have hired anybody lately? They're appalled that you won't pay them $50 an hour to only work 2 hours a day. How dare you? My mommy and daddy gave me anything I wanted anytime I wanted it, and you ought to do that too. Shame on you, mommies and daddies. You have created a train wreck for the 21st century. In your need to be the center of the life of your child, you have avoided your child having Jesus as the center of their relational community. We're not it. Jesus is. Okay? Got theological this morning. And we got to develop. As we live out this community of faith together, guess what? We're going to keep on learning things about Christ. How many of y'all are going to learn some things in this new year? Huh? How many of y'all plan on learning some things in the new year? Huh? Well, that's what we're going to do this year. We're going to do the same thing we did last year, just more of it. We're going to continue to connect people to Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you all a challenge. We've never done this. I really do believe that every one of you ought to be able to connect one other human life in 365 days into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I just want to let you know that's my expectation. My expectation as a pastor is really we'd see 4,000 or 5,000 baptisms a year. I'm serious, Jamie. I mean, I'm not playing. I really do figure that everybody that follows Christ ought to be able to influence one other human being who's not connected to Jesus Christ in 365 days. Does that sound like that's overburdened? Huh? It's just, see, here's the difference. I've brought you to the reality and the potential of the church. I mean, that's really the potential of the church. What the devil's done is say, oh gosh, you all baptized 20 people? Oh, that's so great. It's pathetic. You spent $5 million to see 20 people connect to Jesus Christ? You participated for 52 Sundays in worship? And that's your expectation of God? The only reason, Reverend John, that that's our expectation is because we've made that the norm. Because in my opinion, this is just my opinion, it's correct, but it's my opinion, what we've done is we have removed Jesus Christ from being the centerpiece of the church, and we've put human relationships in as the centerpiece of the church. I'll show you how dangerous that is. If that was the centerpiece of the faith community, Jesus didn't even need to come. Because we had human relationships before we had salvation experience. It is that salvation experience that ought to incarnate everything that we do. Let me show you what it looks like then. Now go to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Y'all got that? There's our vision. C3HD. Because people ask me all the time, what are y'all doing at Hillview? Just need to tell them. We're connecting people to Christ Jesus. We're having a great time in community. We're learning truth that sets our lives free. We're trying to get healthy and we're being healed where we've been wounded. And we're developing into people that make a contribution to the kingdom of God. Y'all got it? And I go, well, y'all Methodists or Baptists? We're connecting people to Jesus Christ. What do y'all do, traditional music or non-traditional music? I don't know. Depends where you come from. If you ask Blake and Clacy, this is traditional music because they've never been around anything else. If you ask Chuck, because he's a couple years older than them, he may say it's non-traditional music. What do you think, Chuck? I don't know what it is. It's alive. Thank you, Pastor Tim. Tim will help us. He's a teaching pastor. It's alive. No, back here. Oh, Pastor, you didn't even speak up. Yeah, you was going to take credit for the brother behind you that gave the right answer. Gosh, that's what I'm talking about, community. Jesus, the centerpiece of the church. You're there at Romans chapter. I love it. Tim was like, yeah, I did get that right. It's a brother behind him talking, you know. Gosh, start the new year off with the pastor stealing ideas from the congregation. Imagine that. All right, if y'all got this, everybody's important. How many of y'all got that? Everybody's important. Everybody's important here. Now, I really want us to get a balance, okay? Here's the deal. We got to welcome everybody to the kingdom in this church. But I want to be really clear on this. This is where we've been confused at Hillview. We don't welcome them to come be the same. We welcome them to meet Jesus and let Jesus change them. Now, here's where we've been a little confused at Hillview. We just welcome everybody. We got that down. We got welcome everybody down. But guess what? We welcomed a lot of people not to Christ, but to our community.
And we've told them this. Y'all just come on in here and do whatever you want to. Well, Lord have mercy, we welcome the devil. That's what I'm telling you. Everybody's welcome here, but they're not welcome to keep the devil with them. Is that fair enough? You say, well, are we supposed to spot the devil in people? Nah, he'll show up. You won't have to spot him. I know some of y'all think God's called y'all to be spot checkers. That's because you're unfaithful. You don't have to worry about somebody else's morals. I guarantee you, you got enough on your own to worry about. What do you think? Huh? And if you can spot check people's immorality real quick, there's a reason for that. Because you're involved in it a lot. Those are the things that tempt you. And you go, yep, they're just like me. Now, don't worry about people's immorality. Worry about connecting them to who? Freddie, hadn't you found over the past 10 years that the Holy Spirit does a better job cleaning up people than we in the church do? Huh? I mean, you can have a support group and sit there and talk about your problem for 50 years, and guess what you still got after 50 years? Your problem! You can sit around and tell everybody, I'm a luster. I lust all the time. I got a problem with lust. I want to surrender my lust. Now, until you do surrender that lust, it'll always just be a conversation. Now, when you surrender it, guess who gets a hold of it? Jesus, and now things have changed in the community. Good, we got to have a little practice here. Love must be sincere. I just want to go over some basics of the new year. Folks, let's love one another, amen? And that means this, we don't tolerate, it's not about toleration, it's about loving to the point of change. That's where we're different in the world. You come to church, you ought to change. You stay in the world, you're going to be the same. Does that make sense? Am I making sense this morning? Y'all got to help me. Am I making sense this morning? I don't have a lot of sleep on me, so you're probably just getting pure spirit. Okay? Yeah. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And I do think the church needs to do this. We need to hate what's evil. We need to hate it. We need to have some passion on some things that are evil. I hate it when people in our church get beat up by old sins in their life. Oh, I hate those sins here. Why? Because they beat people up. I've never seen anybody get blessed by sin. How many of y'all have ever gotten a blessing out of sin? Now, here's where the church is erred. Guess what? To preach against sin, guess who we've involved? We just preach against the sin. Well, preaching against sin makes sin go away. That's why all these protests have never worked. Because what are you protesting? Just speaking against sin, will that make it go away? Here's what will, though. An authentic love relationship with Jesus Christ. Because once you get changed by Jesus, do you hold on to the same stuff you used to hold on to? There's the power of the gospel. Paul didn't go in preaching against abortion. Paul went in preaching Christ crucified and resurrected. And that changed a lot of the social ills. Look at here. And I continue today, that's one of the problems we have today. There's very little gospel preaching in the church. We're preaching issues. In fact, a lot of churches, I listen to sermons all the time, and it sounds like I'm in 101 psychology class. I'm not here so that your mind would be changed. I'm here so that your spirit and soul would be changed, and I know that'll change your mind greater than anything. Here's the difference. Jesus changes the inside and works his way out. The world says if you change your mind, then the rest of you's changed. Problem is, you can't change your mind till your inside spirit's changed. That's why we have a need for Christ. Look at here. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Note, it clarifies and it defines this community relationship. In brotherly what? Love. Now think about your brother or your sister. Your sibling related. How many of y'all got siblings? You got somebody close to you, your mom, your dad, something like that. Okay. Do you stay together no matter what? Why? Why? J.D., why? Huh? You're kin. Now, there's a Central Kentucky statement if I've ever heard. Someone that had Hart County written all over it. Next to kin. You're what? Your family. You know what I think we've forgotten in the church? We're family. If you have Jesus Christ and I have Jesus Christ, we are what? Family. We're not friends only. We're what? Family. Now, let's really talk about family for a minute. How many of y'all have ever had a family disagreement?
How many of y'all really want to be a witness to the world? You know what would be a greatest witness to people that don't believe in Jesus Christ? If we could come together and be true biblical family for a year, I think we'd see the greatest revival we've ever seen. I think one of the confusing things for people in the world, they come to church and they can't find any difference in human relationships than they do at the mall. And one of the ways that really you determine if you're brothers or sisters, it's not when things are going well. It's when things become a disagreement. How you handle disagreements will tell you more about your relationship with Jesus than how you handle the good times. Isn't that cool? And guess what? 8 o'clock service, y'all have gone through a lot of difficult times, and guess what you've done? You've rode them out. You've stayed with it. You see what I'm saying? You may have pouted for a little while, but you stayed in there. I'm not saying you're going to do it perfect, but guess what? The greatest thing about community is never quit. Most of the time, people never see the full blessings of God. Guess why? They quit before they happen. They're available, but they quit before they what? Happen. What if Noah, after all those years, being out there in a dry desert, putting together a vehicle, a vessel that he had never seen before in his life, what if he said, man, it's been decades and it hadn't rained yet, I quit. What would have happened during the flood? He'd have drowned. So don't quit on brother relationships. Sister relationships. Guess what? That's going to be my brother and that's going to be my sister to the day that I die. Whether I agree with them or whether I disagree with them, bottom line, they're still what? My brother or sister in Christ. In Christ. So honor one another. And it goes into honor. We'll come together when we learn to honor one another. Now guess what? People are hungry for that. What do you think? You know what the world's really screaming for? A church that will love one another as Christ has loved them. Now I think we got some good ingredients here for that. What do you think? Huh? We're on our way? So we're going to spend a lot of time this year on coming together. So guess what that means? Come on, watch this. This will help you. And I'm even done. Look. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Ah! This is the magic key for the new year. How many of y'all would like to live in freedom this year? Freedom. Then honor somebody else above your what? Self. Now let me be careful with this. This is not called enabling. A lot of people take this verse and they use it to enable people to corrupt their lives. Guess what? Sometimes the most loving thing I say to my children is, guess what? No. Well, Pastor Ayers, you're a bigot. You're intolerant. You should let them do whatever they want to. You know what you are? A fool. Go read the Proverbs and it gives you your verdict. You're a fool. Oprah's not God, and she's never had any kids. She's not a parent. I've also noticed this in our community. Everybody that's a community expert has never had to really be challenged with community. I've noticed that rich people always tell the poor people how to live. Yeah, like they got any experience with that. How easy it is. Now we got to get in there with people, but do what? What's this? We got people that come to the office and they need money. Guess what I say sometimes? No. You know why? Because I love them. They don't need money. Guess what I got for them? A job. Guess what they don't want? A job. So guess what they need to do? Get real hungry. Then they'll be so hungry that guess what they'll want? And then guess what they'll get? A life. Now you see the difference? Well, that's a little bit different thinking, isn't it? See, it's easier to be and make the church like Disney. A lot of times, those of us that instantly just take care of the immediate problem, it's because we don't want to be bothered with really having to get beyond ourselves and really get in to seeing Jesus make that life better. Because guess what they're going to do as soon as you say no? Guess what they're going to do? Come on, y'all been parents. What happens when you don't do what your children want you to do? Thank you, Nathan. Nathan has reported that children throw a hissy fit. How many of y'all have ever seen a hissy fit? Huh? I was good at those. Elizabeth will tell you, still am. You stomp your feet. I remember I'd always do this with my parents. I'd always throw the ultimate blow. Well, you don't love me. My dad said, you're right. Took it away from me. Now my mom would go, yes, we do. No, you don't. You would. How many of y'all do that one right there? Huh? Throw the old guilt darts in so people would just throw you all those compliments. Well, guess what? If we got rid of all that stuff in our lives, guess what? We would have genuine community. We want to bless each other. We want to get beyond ourselves. Look what he says. He says, honor one another above yourselves. Want the other person to win. And I really want us to come together on this issue. Guess what? What if we coveted with one another in 206 to do this? We want everybody in this congregation to absolutely be the best person they can be in Christ. What would happen to this church? Huh? Yeah. Then why don't we do it, Chuck? Could be laziness. What else? Give me some ideas. We're talking today. Complacent. I mean, we're good at complacency in the church. Have you noticed that? I mean, we can't even have Christmas service anymore because it disturbs our family moment. God help us preach of a cross and a resurrection. I guess Easter we'll just start having, instead of the cross, we'll just get a lazy boy out. Instead of an empty tomb, we'll just have a whirlpool. Have a hot tub. God came to massage our feet and give us rest and peace. I really encourage you to read the Bible so you will not be led astray by such teaching that's going on in today's times. It's not in there, folks. Community's a tough deal. Relationships are a tough deal. It takes the power of a real Jesus and the power of a real Holy Spirit to make this happen. Coming together. Honoring another more than your own stuff. How many of y'all going to do that? The psychologist would tell you that's unhealthy. What's not healthy? It's not healthy. I mean, anytime you go to therapy, what's the first thing they ask you? How do you feel about that? Pastor Ayers, who cares how you feel? That doesn't make it right. Just because you feel like your mom didn't love you doesn't mean that she didn't love you. It just means you what? Feel like she didn't. Maybe your feeler's off. Maybe the truth is she really did love you, but you got something else blocking you from receiving the love that she gave you. Huh. God could be real. Honor yourselves above one another. If we do that, man, we'll come together. Man, you're talking about seeing the vision of this church light up. And look what it says. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. How many of you know what fervor means? That means 6 weeks from now, be as excited about what God's doing as you are the first of the year. That means after 21 years of marriage, it ought to be more passionate instead of less passionate. That means as we've stayed together in a church for coming now on our 16th year together as church and pastor, we ought to be more into it instead of less into it. I think some of you all have lived a few more years than I have. Guess what? You know, I watch Dr. Earl and Cindy, and guess what? Every year that I've been with them, they get more passionate about the things that they're into. Isn't that cool? For some reason in America, we got it backwards. We think when you grow old, you ought to just putter out. I mean, look what we do. Well, I'm going to retire. What are you going to do when you retire? Nothing. How gross. What are you going to do, just sit there and wait till it all falls apart? I mean, really, this is our thinking. We think there's some glory in getting in an RV and driving around, you know, wait to die, just hanging around till I die. Why not live till you're done? That's what they did in the Bible. They lived until they were finished. Paul was able to say, I have finished. I fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've hit the finish line. Bring me on in, God. Paul was as fervent the day that he left as the day he began. Keep your spiritual fervor. Don't doubt it'll happen. Amen? It's cool, and I'm done. These things will work.
Be joyful in hope. Don't give up on hope. That's a good thing. Patient in affliction. How many of y'all going to be patient in affliction? Can I break this one down for you? When it doesn't go your way, don't freak out. That's what the Scripture's saying. Just hang on. How many of y'all have lived long enough to find out that when it doesn't go your way, that's probably a good thing sometimes? That's called wisdom. How many of y'all still got a Burger King faith? Got to have it your way all the time. No. I want to have it Jesus' way. That brings in community. And here's the last thing. You ready? Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, and practice what? Hospitality. Want good things to happen to everybody that surrounds you. Well, let me ask you a question. If we do this, what will happen? If we become this, what will happen to this church? Dream with me. We're going to have an altar. Dream with me. Come on, talk. I'm not being rhetorical this morning. What do you think if we did this? What would happen to the church? Andy, your deacon, what's one thing that happened to the church? More people come to know Christ. Isn't that one of our visions here? Let me just help you. If you're going to participate in Hillview, you're going to hear a lot about preaching the gospel because that's what this church is supposed to do. I don't know what everybody else is supposed to do in the city. That's not my problem. That's God speaks to those pastors, and I love every one of them. But here, we're to make sure the gospel gets out to people that have never heard it. And a lot of them attend church on a regular basis. I just want to wake you up to that. Don't just because people say, well, I'm a member of, you know, XYZ church. Well, guess what that means? Absolutely nothing in the kingdom of God. Do they have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You start talking that and it all changes, yeah? What else would happen if we did the things we've talked about this morning? What do you think, Freddie? I mean, you've been praying for 7 or 8 years for this great revival, a great awakening of people. Maybe, you know, it's just a suggestion. Until the church gets real, God can't move like that. Let me ask you a question. If 7,000 or 8,000 people came to the Lord in this city, where would you send them to be developed? If we had 7,000 new believers in 1 week, where would you send them? Huh? Okay, some of them could come here. Where else are they going to go? We can't handle 7,000 people right now. We hadn't paid the sacrifice to do that yet. That's why they're not here. I'm being honest. Watch this. If we had all been tithing for 15 years, if 7,000 people needed to come to Christ this year, could we have handled that? Yeah, like that. But see, we haven't. But watch this. Don't go. Don't start throwing rocks at me. I'm showing you all the connections. So here's what I'm telling you. The potential of greatness is always inside of us. The question is, do you want to untap that? And see, I think we spend a lot more time, or at least I have been exposed to spending a lot more time around people talking themselves out of being great instead of stepping into the faithfulness that would allow the Lord's greatness to be shown. It's not our greatness. Our greatness is temporary. Somebody might write a book about you, and then it'll be sold at a yard sale for 10 cents, you know, 100 years from now. You know, in 100 years from now, they'll go, who? But, you know, Jesus Christ has been around for a long time, and they're still talking His name. Amen? I said, well, they're still talking Shakespeare's name. I said, yeah, I know, but a lot of people think that's a rap group now. Jesus is still about what He started about being. He's never lost His spiritual fervor for what He died and rose from. Does that make sense? What else would happen? We're devoted to one another. We want everybody to be blessed. We live out this vision of C3HD in a very community come together type way. What would happen? Come on, dream with me, and we're coming to the altar. Dream with me. There would be healings. How many of y'all would be okay living in a community where people just literally got delivered? I'm okay with that. Now when it happens, you're going to hear from the Pharisees. Well, that can't happen because James Dobson said it couldn't happen. Who cares what James Dobson says? I don't care what some preacher says who's scared of the Holy Ghost. I read the New Testament and what happened in the New Testament. Healing! Was it unexplainable? Yes! Because who did it? Jesus! And He really doesn't care to share the details with me. He just said, get up and walk. Go and see. Don't be a prostitute anymore. Be a whole, clean woman. Those are all healings. You would see a lot of that. We'd see some more of that. What else would you see? We're going to be done. What else? There really would be revival. And it would be revival. The church would be waking up to who it really is. You're exactly right. What else? Kind of having a big Sunday school class now. What else? Huh? Absolutely. I mean, we really can't. Yeah. And watch this. Let me play with this one for you. Obedience activates the blessing. Because I have had times, sometimes God's blessed me in my unfaithfulness. Have you ever had moments like that? Yeah. But now, if we get obedient, what happens? You really have the realization of God. Make sense? There's grace moments, but God will mess with me even when I'm not there. But when I get there, what happens with God? How many of y'all find if you do what Jesus said, it really works? See, and I think that's the question. Don't you guys, y'all work with the younger generation. The next generation, they're not asking the question our generation asked. My generation asked the philosophical question, does God exist? Here's what the young people are saying today. Yeah, God exists, but it doesn't amount to anything. He said, show me a person that follows Jesus Christ that's any different than a person that doesn't follow Jesus Christ. And guess what? It's hard to find today. It really is. Because they come to church, and guess what? Are the relationships inside the church any different than the relationships outside the church? In fact, you know what the problem is? A lot of times they're worse in the church than they are at the country club. A lot of times they're worse at the church than they are just hanging out at the lake. A lot of times there's more intimacy on the golf course than there is in the worship center. Do you all see the problem? But we're going to really challenge ourselves to come together. Well, let's stand up. We've run out of time, I think. Y'all got a gist of where we're going this year? Say yay, nay, or what? See, I knew this would be a hard sermon today because I knew none of you got any sleep last night. Huh? But guess what? Let's come and pray today at the altar that we would come together in 206 like never before. First Sunday of the year, we get to worship. First day of the new year, we get to worship. What a privilege. And I thank you guys for being here. I thank you for being in church. I thank you for being real about a whole lot of these things that we've talked about today. And it's going to happen. Amen? And so I want us to come, first of all, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, come asking Him into your life. Lord Jesus, come into my life and give me my what? Sins. I want to start the new year off right. I want to start the new year off connected to heaven. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and you rose from the grave. That's the first step of coming together with God. Now that God comes into you, all things are possible. But church, for those of us that are already Jesus followers, we need to come to this altar and say, God, I pray that you bless everybody in this church to their full potential. And I pray that you will use me to my full potential in the new year. And if we just all do that together, I don't know how everything that's going to happen. I don't care to know, but I just know it's going to be a lot of God-sized things. Yeah? And I pray every day, and I want you all to join me in this prayer, that Richard, we would wake up to what God might do. That we'd really wake up to what God could do among us. It's just incredible. And so, why be less than that when you can be all of that? I'm serious. Why be less than what God's called us to be? Make sense? All right. If you need a relationship with Christ, obviously we highly recommend that. But I also want to invite us, let's end this service today in prayer at the altar. And even if you've never been to the altar, just sneak up here and stand near it, see what it's like. You know, just check it out, first of the year. Let's come right now together and pray that God will do something great with this new year. Let's come to the altar. Let's end up here if you feel comfortable to. Who'll take a step of faith and say, I'll come and surrender my life to coming together. I'll make a walk to an altar, start that way, and say, God, I want to be together with the church. Lord, just bless this time. Lord, right now I ask that you would touch us in the beginning of a new year in such a way that we'd either connect with Jesus Christ for the first time, we'd devote ourselves to your teachings better. We would be freed in life by you, Lord. God, I thank you for what you're doing here. Lord, I thank you for the people that will step up and they'll come to the altar. So, Lord, just bless us right now. In your name we pray. In your name we pray.